that's been happening for quite a while. You know, after all the sports. You know.
Well, these are great brain exercises. I'm going to give you one more. The more you take, the more you leave behind. What am I?
I have no idea.
Mm-hmm. Poop.
Space.
Hold on, Dan.
Dan,
the more you, the more you take, the more you leave behind. What am I? Poop.
And it actually makes sense. The more poops you take, the more you're going to leave behind.
Well, the answer is footsteps. The more you take, the more you leave behind. See, I like this stuff.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I think
I do.
You know, I think because of the massive workload that you have to undertake.
Yeah, 3 hours a day, 4 days a week.
4 days a week. How does that leave you time to come up with these? You're just amazing.
Right. One more. This is one more for the kids, and I think teachers listening. These are great things to do in class that keep sometimes a class from being boring as you throw in some of this fun stuff. There is an 8-letter word. Now, nobody will ever get this because even if you wrote that, you just couldn't figure this out, but it's interesting. There's one 8-letter word that when you take a letter away, you still have a word, and you take another away, and you still have a word, and you take another away, and another, and you keep doing that until there's only one letter left, and that letter is a word. It's an 8-letter word, and the word is starting. Starting,
wow.
Because if you take out the second T, it's staring. If you take out the A, it's string. And then if you take out the R, it's sting. And if you take out the T, it's sing. And if you take out the G, it's sin. And if you take the S off, it's in. And take off the N, and it's I.
Yeah.
There you go, teachers. Throw that at them at school. Something fun.
God, now where did you read that? Where did you come up with that?
I just found it online. I typed in 10 best riddles. And up came these things like footsteps and starting.
And it's amazing again that you have time to do that because, of course, you're prepping for the show for hours.
John, I have 21 hours a day of nothing to do. This show's 3 hours long.
Tell me that you sleep about 9 to 10 hours a night, right?
I could. When I finally go to sleep, I can sleep 9 hours. Oh, I sleep at least 8, sometimes 9 or 10. I love to sleep once I get to sleep.
6. That's all I need.
Yeah. You and Donald Trump, he gets 4. I would love to be like that. I would love to be able to have 6 and jump up and go. I can't do it. I can't.
Yeah, because then you jump up and you'd have Snap, Crackle, and Dave.
I've had Snap, Crackle, and David for many, many years. Many years.
Well, I tell you know what? It's a great day at Johnny Law and Duff Chevrolet. And this beautiful weather is bringing out the AM and the PM crowd. I know I sent you information on a gentleman yesterday that I get to talk to on the new Silverado. And he said, you know what, if it wasn't for you making so much fun of me, and he felt kind of sorry that he would have probably gone to another dealer. But he said, no, I'm going to go to Johnny Law and Duff.
Well, here's what I like. In your email, you told me, or in your text, this guy was a regular customer, and I won't name the dealership, but it's a well-known Chevy dealer, and he dumped him.
Not that
for
well-known any longer. Probably won't be in business. Wow.
Well, it's a name that's been around a while, but he dumped him. He dumped him for Johnny Londoff Chevrolet.
Oh. After all these years. Yeah, that's what we like.
It is because of you. It's because of the show. And he loves the new show. Loves, just the characters, let's say. But loves us going back and forth. So, thanks. You know, it's the gift that keeps on giving.
Well, one of our characters is gone today. Tim's not here because his dad passed away. But Bill Cleveland's here. Bill, say hi to John.
Hello, John.
Bill, how are you, buddy?
I'm well, sir. Thanks for asking.
Yeah, good. That's great to hear. You sound great, and I'm sure that you've got some riddles up your sleeve that you can lay on Frank a little bit.
I don't want to hear another riddle for the rest of my life.
Sick of riddles. We spent the whole hour on the one that is still driving us all crazy.
There's one thing you know, that when Frank gets on something, forget about it. He's going to get the sick one. But
I'm staying with it.
You have riddles tomorrow. You'll see up more riddles probably tomorrow.
Well, we might. And John, you should have seen the phones. I've never seen the phones light up that many calls that quickly trying to explain that stinking riddle that we that I started out talking about, and I'm not even sure why I started talking about it, except that it's driven me crazy since high school.
It's just you. It's you being Frank.
I guess it is.
Well, listen, I got to get back to these phone calls myself because we're really almost home. Mimi's doing a great job of driving. I'd put her on speakerphone, but there's no way that she would allow me to ever say anything, but she is saying hi in her own kind of way.
John, you subscribe to Best Weather Magazine? I know I do. I just got my latest copy of Best Weather Magazine. Let me read you something here. This is on page 12, and it's one of those question and answer columnists. Dear Q&A man, what is the best weather for buying a new car, and where's the best place to do it? And the columnist says, thank you so much for your question. The best weather is once the temperature, usually around mid to late September, October, drops into the 60s, low 70s. And from our research, it looks like the best place to buy is a dealership in St. Louis, Missouri called Johnny Londoff.
How about that? That is right out of Best Weather Magazine, the new October edition.
What's the name of that columnist?
Yeah, who's Q&A man? I'd like to meet him as a fellow writer. I'd like to know
he does not identify himself. It just says at the bottom, Q&A man is a well-respected car expert who has been in the car business for over 40 years. Huh. That's all it says. Hmm. So right out of Best Weather Magazine. Hmm. There it is.
All right. Well, there it is.
There you go.
It's a good thing that we're open late tonight until about 9:30. We'll stay till 10 o'clock if we need to make the great AM and the PM crowd another deal on a new Chevy car, truck, SUV, or a pre-owned vehicle. So give us a call, 314-837-1800, 314-837-1800, or 24-7-365 at lawndoff.com.
All right, go take care of that dog.
I will. You might get to meet him one of these days.
I'll meet him. Thank you, John.
Okay. All right. Bye, Frank.
Bye-bye. Now, see, I actually, before I looked up the answer, I got the answer to David. David's father has three sons, Snap, Crackle, and David.
What was the one about something laying on the ground with the head?
Oh, what's up? What's brown? Has a head and a tail, and it's brown.
A brown snake.
Shoot, I forgot the whole... Hang on a minute. There was more...
Oh, sorry.
No, hang on a second. It's... Hold on.
Duck-billed platypus. They're brown.
Hang on. Hold on. One has a head, a tail, is brown and has no legs.
Brown snake. Ooh, a worm.
Well, snakes don't have tails. The whole snake is like a tail. It's a penny.
Penny has
a head, a tail... Brown has no legs.
Oh.
There you go.
What's big, red, and eats rocks?
Clifford.
No, a big red rock eater.
That's not even funny. A third grader would laugh at that.
I'm sorry.
He's stupid.
This is dad humor. Gets me.
Clifford. You're the one.
Yeah. We've been waiting to find one.
Thank you for saving us with that music.
How much is that job?
For, I don't know, 15 or 16 years at least, we have done this segment every Wednesday. And what it has told me is there are lots of you who have pets and you love your pets. Dog lovers love dogs and cat lovers love cats, and dog lovers don't understand cat lovers. Cat lovers, I think, understand dog lovers. And then there are the iguana people, and the snake people, and the turtle people, and the tarantula people, and then those people who are really different, who have little tigers and, camels and stuff, and bison, in the St. Louis area. And the guy that takes care of them all is on the phone now, courtesy of Window World, the number one selling replacement window in the United States and the preferred window of the St. Louis Blues. He's your pet's best friend. He's the official veterinarian of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon. And before I introduce him, let me give you the numbers because all the lines are open. We cleared out the riddle solvers. 314-821-0590. or 855-282-8255. I would call right this second, because all the lines are open, and if nobody calls, we end it as soon as we begin it. One more time, 314-821-0590, 855-282-8255. Say good afternoon to Dr. Doug Pernikoff.
Hey, hey, hey. How is everyone today?
Hey. Huge crowd. Hello, doctor.
How are you?
We're having a great day today.
I am, too, and I am AM in the PM.
Have you been listening at all? Had a chance to listen?
No, but it was explained to me that something was going on that was kind of viral and wouldn't stop. It was a limerick or
a riddle.
Mm-hmm. A riddle.
Yeah. Oh, it's one that's driven me crazy since high school. And I know the answer, but I just can't understand why the answer is the answer. I'll give you the quick one that we just gave John Londoff, and here it is. David's father has three sons, Snap, Crackle, and...
David.
So smart.
He was listening. He was listening. He had to do Peter.
Very clever.
So what's new?
It's a beautiful, beautiful day. We've had a couple of beautiful days. It's just been amazing. But, you know, I wonder what's going to happen because we didn't really have a spring. Does that mean we're really not going to have a normal fall? We're going to go right into a heavy winter.
Who knows? We didn't have a spring, did we?
No. I'm kind of worried that we're going to have a really heavy-duty winter this year.
I like the color of the leaves, but I don't like... Dan, don't worry about who's on the phone. I don't like the leaves falling. That's just depressing. Once they're down and the trees are bare, here it comes.
Yeah.
Stinking nasty weather. And everybody, of course, initially gets a bunch of colds and sniffling and sneezing and wiping their nose on their sleeves and stuff.
Well, my wife taught it was the season to really get sick because teachers come home every day from school. And they're sick every other day with something.
So. How about preschool teachers? People, the little kids.
Probably
they're the ones that really spread it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's terrible.
I wonder if they take any special shots or something. Are you ready to help pet lovers?
I sure am. I'm here to do that.
Well, you're a chick magnet, and here's more proof of that. Let's talk to Phyllis. Phyllis, say hello to Dr. Doug Pernikoff.
Well, hi, Dr. Doug. How are you?
Good, Phyllis, and how are you?
I'm pretty good, pretty good. Thank you.
Okay.
But I have a real quick question for Frank. What were the movies that you said yesterday that were so good on Netflix besides Ozark?
Oh, my goodness. There
was a TV show, I think.
Well, there's one called Succession on HBO. It's not Netflix.
No, this is on Netflix.
I believe it's the one with Jeff Daniels called Godless.
Oh, my goodness. Godless. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Godless is terrific.
Dr. Doug, I have a 2-year-old English cocker that is agile and fun and more fun than a box of rocks.
And I don't know how to take
that. She'll jump up on the bed, which is fine. You know, she sheds, so I deal with it. But she all of a sudden over the weekend quit jumping. Quit frolicking the whole bit.
Put her to sleep.
And what's so funny?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Frolicking.
No, in the case of Phyllis, these juvenile delinquents, when you said cocker, they giggled like a bunch of high school boys.
I
cocker.
Did.
You
are so beautiful.
No, we don't know.
Is that what the dog
does? We don't need Joe Cocker. So your dog just lost its enthusiasm.
Yeah, well, you know, so I get, you guys.
I know.
I get down off the bed and lift this dog, which is no simple feat for me because I have a problem with lifting. And she's like 35 pounds.
Yeah.
And she's not fat, but all of a sudden something is wrong with her chest wall.
Huh.
And
well,
I've felt her legs. Felt her ribs. I can't figure it out.
I keep trying to jump in there.
I don't know. What's so funny, Dan?
Dr. Doug keeps going, And you keep trying to jump in.
That's not funny.
I didn't used to stutter. Now I stutter.
Phyllis, this is not me. I just want you to know it's these other delinquents. What do you think, Doc?
I really believe that although you think it's the chest area, I would be more likely to look first at the spinal column. So somewhere between the end of the head, the beginning of the neck, and the tush, that spinal column may have an injury like a slip disc, or there can be, although it's an awful young dog for this, you can have other changes like some calcification or degeneration of the pads between the disc. But the first thing I'd try and rule out and let your veterinarian do this, he can do certain palpations and manipulations and maybe even an x-ray to try and demonstrate that there might be a disc injury. So if that dog was jumping down and up, mostly jumping down, that's when they can really injure themselves. And so that would be the thing to do, is to get to them. In the meanwhile, anything that's going to hyperextend or hyperflex that animal's body or neck or the spinal column is going to potentially cause some pain and discomfort. And it may be subtle enough that, like you said, you don't get an exact sight of pain, but there's definitely, the dog knows to protect itself, and something it does a certain way hurts, like jumping off the bed. So a couple things. Go to your vet. Talk to him about that. There's a whole bunch of different medications that we use for pain and discomfort in the acute phase, which means, like, assuming an injury happened, he'll treat you and he'll tell you how to manage the dog or cat and keep it protected. And like I said, I think that's the best thing to do right now. And then you may have to get a ramp. They make some amazing ramps. We got
right,
for
they
our
do.
Dogs.
I know. I was thinking about that.
And I like the ramps better than the steps. They have like a carpeted surface, and we use those every day. So, but start with that. And then if you can't get to the vet right away, you might try a little aspirin. And some dogs are sensitive to it. They get GI problems or gastrointestinal problems, but many don't. And you would call up your vet and get a dose. Okay?
Well, I'm going to make an appointment with you. I live close to you. There's no reason why not. The service that you provide us is...
That'd be great.
So wonderful, Dr. Doug. Thank you so very much.
Okay. Thank you, Phyllis. That's what you say.
Thank you, Phyllis. Thank you for listening. All right. All the lines are open. We have no more calls. Now, here's how this is going to work, and it never fails when I do this. We're going to shut this segment down and end it and play the theme music.
I have a question for Dr. Doug.
Well, let me hang on. In 15 seconds, if we don't get a call, because we always are full of calls. I don't know if it's the phone bank, which is 97 years. No, it's not. It's actually brand new. Maybe that's the problem. 314-821-0590. Or 855-282-8255. Dan, what's your question?
What do you call a baby chimp? I just messed it all up. What do you call a baby monkey?
A baby, well, if it's a monkey,
yeah,
then you call it a baby monkey.
Oh.
If it's a chimp, you call it a baby ape.
Oh, so a chimp off the old block. That's what I had.
Holy cow. And no. See, while you were doing that, people were trying to get through on the phone. What, Doc? You were going to say something?
I was just going to mention pain control, because that was going to be like a lead-in discussion. But if people want to know more about that, you know, we don't have as much of the opioid concern as the human industry does, but we do use opioids, but we have a lot of other alternatives as well. So if your dog is an older dog that either has some kind of degenerating arthritis or disc disease or degenerated joints where the cartilage is failing and stuff, talk to your veterinarian. There's all kinds of options. There's one we call Tramadol, which is a synthetic opiate, but now they say for chronic disease, that's only good for about the first week to low dose and get the pain relief. But then you can follow up with other products like gabapentin, meloxicam, or even some nutraceuticals like Steadfast.
Wow, do you know I take both gabapentin and meloxicam?
They're all human drugs. They're all used in the human sphere as well.
Yeah, that meloxicam is both of them are pretty amazing. Now, see, when I do that to people, I go, okay, well, shut in. Boom, all the calls come down. I'm not sure I'll ever understand why people, when I say call, here's how this works, folks. When a caller finishes, a line is open. That line right there is open. So that's when you jump in. 314. I don't know which to call first. I don't know which one rolls in first. 314-821-0590 or 855-282-8255. But Dan is here. Dan, say hello to Dr. Doug.
Hi, everybody. I'm AM and a PM. How you doing, Dr. Doug?
I'm good, Dan. And you?
I'm fine. Hey, I hope this lady is actually listening that you just had on the phone, because that's what it sounds like is the problem, is the spine. I had a beagle that I had to put down on Monday.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And it's the hardest thing in the world that I ever, ever had to do in my life.
Uh-huh.
And she died in my arms.
Oh, my God. Do you know what happened?
And, yeah, she got crippled. She was 16 years old, and she was a jumper. And she finally, she couldn't walk no more because she had back spine problems. But she could walk as an assistant outside. I could hold her with her tail and balance her while she walks and goes to the bathroom. She still had a good appetite, water, going to the bathroom and everything. It's just that she caught dementia. And unless we gave her a sleeping pill to relax at night, she would bark nonstop 24 hours a day.
Whoa.
Wow.
How do you know if a dog has dementia?
Because the vet said they did. It's another. What is the other name, Dr. Doug, for dementia for a dog? Starts with an M.
M. Well, I'm not sure. Yeah. I know what you're talking about.
Matilla or something like that. There's another name for it.
Yeah, it escapes me. So
but
I probably have dementia.
It was dementia that she ended up having, and there was nothing more that they could do. But she was the most wonderful dog I've ever had in my life. And it's really hard on me and the wife because we're having a hard time with this, because I got her off the highway in Centralia, Illinois in 2004. She was homeless, and I picked her up and brought her home.
Who, your wife?
No, not his wife.
Doug,
apologize. It's a serious conversation. Dan, did you get another dog?
No, I got two other ones at home. I got a Jack Russell pug mix and a Papillon mix.
Okay, good, because they always say, if anybody loses a dog like that, the first thing you got to do is get another one. And everybody goes, well, I don't want another dog. I want to get attached again. And then they get another one, and it's fantastic. So good, you got two other dogs. That's good.
Yeah,
I was going to also mention,
it's never happened to me.
We have some dogs that actually get injuries of their lower back from their lumbar spine on down, and they can't walk in the rear. And they do make, in fact, for one of our clients, I was exploring options just this week for these different types of devices you can get. I see them on Amazon.
Like the wheels?
The wheels and the back brace, and you just have to find something that fits your dog, and then they tend to rank these things, and you can find one that's manufactured well, or talk to your veterinarian about some options. So it doesn't, in your case was different. You had a issue with the brain and the dementia, but if you have the animals that have these spinal issues, there are alternatives. Besides, there's a wonderful neurologist in town who does amazing surgeries when you need it.
We were going to have that done. But when they diagnosed her with dementia, they said there's no sense in doing this because you're eventually going to end up having to put her down. And it took about 60 days from the time that she started having it until yesterday that we ended up having to put her down. And, you know, it's just very tough on me, and I'm having a hard time with it because she's very special to me. No. I don't know what to do.
Well, I mean, the one thing you do is you appreciate that you had this dog for 16 years and you did a great job and obviously was a happy dog. And you have to, just like with relationships and humans, you have to just think about all the good times and just hold those close to your heart.
16 years is a long time for a beagle or any dog.
Yeah, that's a good age. Yeah. So you did a good job.
I did have her cremated, and she's going to be sitting on my counter at home and stuff with my other dog, but it's just very hard on me, and I don't know what to do, and hopefully me and the wife is going to be able to get through this pretty soon.
Yeah, you might also look for some blogs. Get on the computer and blog out that concern, because I bet that you'll find a lot of people that would be there to support you.
All right, Dr. Doug, I appreciate it, guys. I got to go.
All right, thank you, Dan.
Thanks, Dan.
Bye-bye.
Poor guy.
Mm. Yeah, he was really crazy.
Hey, people are close to their dog. I don't know if cat people are as close.
Oh, they're
close.
The same.
Yes.
Are they?
The same. Oh, yeah.
You have a cat, Limey?
No, I don't have a cat. I have a dog. She's about 10 or 12 years old now, and I'm dreading the next 4 years.
How long
have
you had her since she was a puppy?
No, I've had her since she was about 3 or 4, so about, 7 or 8 years now. We've had her.
Yeah.
Long time.
My daughter's had a cat since she was little, and we had to put it down not long ago.
But is it the same? I mean, yes. How can it be the same attachment?
No, it is the same. It's the same attachment.
Relate to that.
No, if you haven't had cats, this cat would fetch. You would throw something up in this little sponge. It would jump up and it would catch it and it would bring it back. Mm-hmm. And it would sleep with her, and
maybe it wasn't really a cat.
Maybe a cat dog.
Did it with a dog, and it was half dog.
It was a cat dog, but the cat would sleep with her, lay on her, you know, and she'd come home. The cat was right there with her and everything.
Okay, don't worry about those calls coming in.
Okay. Just
somebody else will take care of that. We have James in here. James, say hello to Dr. Doug.
Hi, Dr. Doug.
Hi, James. How are you?
I'm AM in the PM.
Thank you. That's a good way to be.
How can I help you?
I have a cattle question.
Whoa, we don't get many cattle questions. This is good.
Yeah, I wondered if banding a bull calf or cutting it.
I couldn't hear you. I'm sorry.
I was wondering what you would recommend, banding a bull calf or cutting it.
Oh, cutting it for sure.
Are we talking about banding the testicles or cutting the testicles?
Yeah.
What is banding? Is they just rot off or something?
Yeah, they do a pressure band, and then basically it cuts off the circulation, and they kind of like a necrosis, dry gangrene. But I don't think it's they've done it historically for years in many communities, but I think it's kind of unethical. And I would always say it's best to bring the vet out and let them just do a surgical removal.
Yeah. Well, we usually do that ourselves, but I was going to try banding them.
Yeah.
But it would be a little bit easier.
Does that hurt, do you think, as much as it would hurt us if somebody cut our testicles off?
What do you think? Like, you know, different creatures have different pain receptors in their
testicles. I don't
know. Testicles are testicles. You cut any testicles off an animal or creature, it's gonna feel it.
But we don't know that. We don't know that. What hurts is if they get hit in them, but cutting them off, like, at the base, that hurts.
They've got to be, okay, all right.
They use anesthesia.
Yeah, there you go.
Of course.
And then once they're gone, there might be a little bit of post-op pain, but not much, and they seem to tolerate that very well. So, but the more humane way, and again, this is just my opinion, but I think it would be easier just to have the vet come out and do his thing.
Do people eat bull testicles like they do, other testicles? They do, don't they? Hog testicles and...
You know,
that sounds disgusting, but they might be really good. We don't know.
I believe bull testicles are Rocky Mountain oysters.
Yes.
I thought that was hog testicles.
No, I think it's bull testicles.
Have you ever had any?
No,
anybody
I have not.
Anybody in here ever had?
I have.
How were they?
They were kind of strange tasting. It's a different texture.
Well, that's because you knew what you were eating.
Right.
Yeah, it probably was psychological. I mean, people love them, and they have big barbecues, and they have a big collection of these.
Anything deep fried.
Species.
Not eating testicles.
They're a little gamey.
Gamey. All right. Well, James, thanks for a rare cattle call. We don't get many of those.
Okay.
Thank you.
I had another question about
goats.
Would you recommend the same thing with goats?
With what?
With what?
Goats.
Goats.
Oh yeah, definitely. I've done a lot of goat neuters. I do them just like dogs. Although a lot of people don't, I do. So I actually make an incision and tie off the cord and do all that kind of good stuff.
Hey, where'd my nuts go?
Thank you, Dan.
Okay, good.
Thank you, James. Sorry about you.
Bye. Sorry about me too.
So before we get to Laura in here, you want to hear like my favorite goat joke?
Sure,
love to.
So it's out in the worst, most hillbilly mountain parts of West Virginia, where they're supposed to be so backward. And this salesman comes up to this old shanty shack, and he knocks on the door, and this hillbilly kid comes to the door, hadn't bathed in a while, got teeth missing. And he goes, son, where is anybody home? Your mom, your dad? And he nods yes to mom. He goes, oh, your mom's home. The kid just nods, yeah. He didn't say anything. He just nods. He goes, where's your mom? Can I speak with your mom? And the kid just kind of motions toward the back of the house. The salesman goes back there, and mom's back there having sex with a goat. And the salesman comes back around to the front door and says, son, your mom's in the backyard having sex with a goat. And the kid's just expressionless. He goes, doesn't that bother you? And the kid goes, nah.
I have a variation of that joke.
Well, let's hear it.
Well, a salesman's driving down a country road, and he looks over to the left, and he sees a man making love with a sheep, and he goes nuts, and he drives up to the nearest driveway. It goes up to the door and knocks on the door, and there's a little kid's face there, and same idea. He doesn't say anything. He goes, hurry up, call the police, look over here, and it looks over there, and this guy doing this thing, and little kid goes, oh, that's no problem. That's just my dad.
Same joke. The same joke.
Well, it was different. Yours was a female.
Wasn't that different?
Basically the same joke.
I
said it was a different take on the same thing.
Oh, my goodness. Laura probably doesn't even want to be part of this anymore. Let's find out. Laura, say hello to Dr. Doug.
Hello, Dr. Doug.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hi, Laura.
No. That joke's over. It's over. Laura, what do you have?
Well, first of all, I want to say I feel sorry for that guy that kind of broke down on his dog, and he will get over it, and we're all thinking about him because that was kind of sad.
Yeah.
And then he went with the goat jokes.
Well, so, that's how we turn things around here.
Well, there was a couple of calls later.
Yeah, we waited two calls, then we threw the goat jokes in.
Yeah, I love it.
So that you know, we are compassionate. Had he called about losing his goat, we wouldn't have done that.
No.
We would have done a story about a guy having sex with a dog, probably.
Oh.
What do you have for
that
Dr. Doug?
Bad.
Well, it would. Did you say bad?
Yes, you did.
Bad. Yeah, that's good, Laura. What do you have for Dr. Doug?
Well, I have a little different problem. My Staffordshire Terrier is jealous. She's jealous of other dogs. Not overly jealous, like she's, you know, going to attack anybody, but she's just got a jealous streak to her. If I'm hugging my son, saying goodbye or whatever, she's got to get right in the middle there. And I was just wondering if there's any kind of something I can do to kind of steer her away from being so jealous.
So she doesn't get aggressive, does she? She just gets there in the middle.
She wants to be in the middle. She does not care that I'm hugging someone else or whatever. Even my husband, you know, and she adores both of us, but if we're together, she's just like right there and wants to be a part of it, you know.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's a modern world, and, you know, there are products, and I mentioned this one before, it's a nutraceutical called Zilkine, and just taking the edge off of the dog might be enough to kind of wear away that behavior. I mean, it's not a negative behavior, it's just more of an obnoxious behavior. But if you want to try something like Zilkine or talk to your vet about some other kind of mood modifier, you might even try it for a month or two and then kind of gradually wean it away and see if that same behavior is still present. But, you know, it's just partly security, partly love, and it's, as long as she's not aggressive, it's fine, but you never know if something's going to trigger if a stranger does that or one of the kid's friends gets close and you say hi and kiss them, stuff like that. I don't know.
Or does the dog bark?
No, not the behavior does not include barking. It's just coming right between us, maybe jumping on us. Just, you know, it's more like a me.
Because I'm not making this up. We had a dog one time. It was very protective. It was actually a protective thing. And the dog was extremely protective of my wife. And if somebody came over and they just gave her a hug, well, that dog was ready to tear him apart. Anybody who just came near.
Yeah, I think, I don't think this is a big negative, but again, you can talk to your veterinarian about getting a couple different, trying some different products to see if it, and a little bit of training too, because you shouldn't be jumping up anyway, unless you don't mind that in your relationship with the dog. But those are things that can be kind of trained out, and then that in conjunction with a little bit of pharmacology might be very helpful in getting rid of that behavior.
Okay.
Okay, I appreciate it. And I do not like jumping. I have one follow-up question.
Sure.
What about we go for walks every night, and she just goes crazy when a diesel truck comes by, or a golf cart, the lawnmower, anything real loud or rumbly.
I don't know if it's because they have such a sensitivity to hearing that there's a certain pitch to those motors. I mean, my dog does that with the lawnmowers, but also with the vacuum cleaner. It goes nuts and attacks. And I think it's probably just the irritation that kind of stimulates them. So you might try and keep them away from those kind of sounds as much as you can.
Because you're probably not going to change that.
No, I don't think so.
No. I did change her with the vacuum cleaner. She also went through that. And we had a sit-down, and I said, listen, the vacuum cleaner's staying, so you better get used to it.
Wow, dog understands English. That's great. What a great dog.
Dog is really smart. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you for listening, Laura. We appreciate it.
It's been great having you.
Yeah, we're finished with that joke.
Oh, darn. I still like that one so much.
Yeah, we can tell. Judy is next. Judy, say hello to the Goatmaster General, Dr. Doug Pernikoff.
Well, I don't have a question about a goat. I do have a question about my son's dog, which developed very hard swelling of the stomach area, and we discovered it about a month and a half ago. They took him to the vet, and they said it was the spleen. Now, I don't know if they said it was ruptured or what, but they said there was really nothing they could do other than surgery. And my daughter-in-law did a lot of research online, and most of the people that had had surgery said the dog didn't last more than 3 or 4 months after surgery.
Yeah.
And I guess I'm just curious. It's a great dog, an absolutely great dog, and he doesn't moan or seem like he's in pain, but the stomach is so tight and so swollen.
Yeah, I can speak to that. We see a lot of cases like that, and I am assuming, or I can presume, that he made a decision of what it was based on probably palpating it, and also hopefully an x-ray or an ultrasound. Either one of those steps are really appropriate. Now, what I found, if it is a splenic tumor, the most common tumor that we see in the stomach in the region is called a hemangiosarcoma, but it could be also be an hemangioma, which is a benign tumor that can also be dangerous, because in both cases the spleen swells. It's an organ that's full of blood supply, and either case, if it's a tumor, cancer, it's going to rupture out and it's going to slowly bleed in the abdomen. If it's a singular tumor on the very tail of the spleen, this is something that you can find with the ultrasound and or with open surgery, those have a better prognosis. If it's a single tumor, a lot of those are the benign hemangiomas, and if you remove the spleen, your problem's gone. You won't know that unless you get in there and take it out. If you do an ultrasound and you see multiple lobulations all over the place, then it is more likely going to be a cancer. And those do statistically only last about 3 to 5 months, even if you do the surgery. Now, the advantage of doing the surgery is you get rid of the tumor of the moment, but that tumor tends to go from there to the right side of the heart and the atrium, then it'll go to the lungs, and it can come back to the liver. So it's a very dangerous tumor. The surgeries are done frequently. It's not a problem, and I would say, unless you know exactly what you're dealing with, I'd get in there and do the ultrasound and then remove it surgically and send it to the pathologist. We just did one the other day, so they're fairly common. So you still have some hope. I just don't know. We don't know all the facts, and your vet may already know a lot of these facts that we just mentioned. But make sure it's a clear understanding that he's done what he can do. And if he hasn't, then, you know, ask him to do more. Mm-hmm. Okay?
I don't believe they had the x-ray or the
ultrasound.
Yeah. The cost was over $500, and my son said, well, they have to hold off on that for a while. So
Well, you know, the cost of the surgery would be a little bit more, but then you're in there fixing something, so you could avoid, in the worst-case scenario, it's not the best medicine, but you could avoid those diagnostic steps, put the money into treating it, which means going in surgically and doing exploratory, and if the spleen needs to be removed, it needs to be removed, but you'll you have a better chance of salvaging your pet that you love so much if you do it that way. Okay?
Okay. Okay, fine. Is it painful? The dog does not seem to...
No, but what happens is, with either condition, if they rupture that spleen, it starts to bleed out either slowly or very fast, and you'll see they'll get very weak in the rear legs, and people always think they're having some kind of spinal problem, but they literally don't have enough blood supply moving around. It's floating free in their abdomen. So I still think that you have a real good chance to try and find out more and hopefully resolve something that doesn't have to be a life-threatening condition if you can get in there quick and do something. Okay?
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
All right, Judy, thank you for listening. We appreciate it. Sean is next. Sean, say hello to Dr. Doug.
How you doing, Dr. Doug?
Good, Sean. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Thank you. I had a quick question. So I have a small, he's a Boston Terrier Dachshund mix, and he's a very interesting dog. He's very smart. He actually, when he was younger, swallowed a corn dog stick, and we took him to the vet. They diagnosed it as some kind of a flu or sickness for a dog, gave him some medicine, and ended up coming out of it the side of him.
Hold on a minute. Out the side.
It's strange, yeah.
Yeah, objects like that can actually penetrate the bowel somewhere along the line, anywhere from the stomach on down, and they can migrate and find their way out the door. It's very rare for that to happen. More often than not, they cause a peritonitis and they just die or get sick enough that you have to go in and explore.
Well, and he was so, down. He's only 2 years old now. This is about a year ago, and he's always very just uppity and playful and run around, and so I took him to the vet twice, and they kept saying that he was just sick and would prescribe him meds, and it ended up literally penetrating his side, and my girlfriend was like, is that a bone sticking out of him? And
Did it actually come out the side?
Oh, I gently slid it out like nothing, and it just pulled right out.
Holy mackerel.
I called... Yeah, it was the strangest thing I've ever even heard of with a dog.
Right.
And I called my vet and said, do I need to bring him in for stitches? Do I need to? And they're like, if you can buy some, dog antiseptic, stuff like that. I went to PetSmart and got it and kept it wrapped and cleaned and every day. And he healed, perfectly.
Is the corn dog stick, is it pointed on one end or is it?
No, it's
curved. Just like a popsicle stick.
Yeah, exactly. Wow. It's curved, but is that not crazy? And to mention, he's not even 2 feet long. So I don't see how he choked it down and it came out, but once again, sorry to take up your time. Real quick question.
That was me.
Way to go, Dan. Way to go. Way to go. Apologize to Sean. Wow. Apologize to our listener, Sean.
Sorry, Sean.
Yeah.
All right. It's not a problem. But he is, he's been urinating on absolutely everything he can. Mm-hmm. We'll take him outside and he will, I have a electric fence. I have a runner. I have everything. I take him for walks. He will not pee. But when he comes in, he likes to pee on our couches. Sides of him, anything he can. Same as number two, just anywhere he can. But we'll let him outside for hours, and he won't go.
Yeah, so I wouldn't handle it that way. First of all, I would just make sure, again, that your vet doesn't find anything else like a bladder infection or stones in the bladder, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But if it does sound like it has a behavioral component. So what I would do is kind of focus on retraining that dog with a crate, and you don't leave them out for hours. You take them out. You take them out on a lead. You don't let them out on their own. And if they don't do what they're supposed to do, you bring them back in, put them back in the box, and every time they come out of the crate, the first step is to go out, put the lead on, and take him outside, just like you're training a puppy. And when he has to go, unless he's going in his box too, which most of them don't do if it's tight enough, so you want to keep it small, then you just get him outside and you retrain him, and they start to realize, hey, this is where I'm supposed to be doing my business.
Not or, inside. Sean, next time he pees in the house, threaten to shove a corn dog down his mouth. He probably hasn't forgotten about that deal.
That's probably the best bet, Frank.
You don't want that to happen again.
Yeah.
No, that crazy was absolutely story. Crazy. And yeah, I actually just got him a new crate, too, for when we leave for work, because we were leaving him out, and he was doing it more and more, so...
Yeah, that's what I would do. I would retrain him. I'd keep the crate small, don't have too much redundant space, because he'll sit one place and pee in the other place. You want to keep it tight. And then start working again. Use the weekend as a good time when you're home all day. And you can take him out 10, 15 different times. I don't care. But you always go through the same steps, and you kind of reteach him that outside is for doing your business.
Yeah. And, Sean, and I've suggested this before at least a half dozen times. Go out with him and pull down your pants and poop out in front of your house in the yard and let him see you do that. Oh, you already did that?
I've already done that with him.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Sean.
Does neutering have anything to do with that, though, real quick?
You should neuter him because he likes to mark territory, and that might help. But it sounds to me like it's beyond that a little bit. I think he's probably just, the maleness could be driving him to feel like he has to mark territory. So he should be neutered anyway for other reasons.
Okay.
For his health. Okay. Right.
Sean, right. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for the time, gentlemen.
All right. We got 3 minutes if we can work Carol in here and get her question answered in 3 minutes. Carol, say hello to Dr. Doug.
Hi, Dr. Doug. I listen to you every Wednesday and have been AM and a PM for over 20 years.
Woo! Thank you.
Whoa.
Charter
Thank
member.
You, Carol. Thank That's you. Very sweet of you.
Well, I could really relate to those people that called in with the two older dogs. I have a lab mix, and she's getting incontinent. She's going to be 16 in November.
Wow.
So I get it. That dog has no idea she's a dog. She thinks she's one of my kids.
Right.
And that's how it should be.
Exactly.
So I feel for those people. I know it's a hard thing. I know the end's coming.
Right.
But and she's the... not hurting, and I just give her incontinent medicine, and we're good.
Hey, Carol, we used diapers. We had a lab mix, and we ended up using diapers because it was tough. But there is a website.
Well, she sleeps in my bed. She lets me sleep in her bed.
No, okay.
It sounds like you've got a proper diagnosis, though, because incontinence is different than just having urinary tract accidents. Incontinence is when they wake up from a nap and they're actually in a pool of urine of some sort.
Well, that's what she does. She only does it when she's sleeping. I mean, she's alert and tells us when she's awake that she wants out. But when she's sleeping, she sleeps so soundly that she just pees in her sleep.
Estrogen deficiency. So that's from some people think that's because that we spay them too early, and they lose estrogen. And estrogen has help in controlling the sphincter muscles right at the end of our urinary tract. And
I do remember your show when you shared that, and I think that that's part of her problem because she was like, maybe 10 weeks old, 12 weeks old when I had her spayed.
Yeah, I think
she was a rescue. And she hit the mother load.
Wow. Right. Well, Dan's got extra diapers from his own use that he can probably
share.
I wouldn't have said that. How about Frank? Frank, you got diapers?
No, I don't, Carol. Not yet. Carol, thank you for listening. We appreciate it.
Okay. God bless. Take care. Love you guys.
And before we get away here, let me just say something. And I'm not an expert on this, but there are lots of very elderly people that if they didn't have a good dog, they would be completely alone. This is a greatest companion. Not for everybody, but for, I think, the majority of older people who are widowed, widowers, family can't come around very often. Man, having a great dog is the the perfect companion. And I just want to say that. Don't, and I know they'll, well, I don't want a dog. They'll fight it. They'll resist it. But, no,
you can do cats too. Some people might.
Well, I know
like
you're
cats.
A cat proponent. I don't care about cats. Cat too. Cat's actually less trouble and can go to the kitty litter thing and they don't have to be let out all the time. So yeah, cat, too. I don't have any experience with cats.
Oh, for Dan that called in, rainbowbridge.com is a good, website to go to after you've lost a pet.
To find gay cats, Rainbow Bridge?
No, Rainbow Bridge. Rainbowbridge.com.
Yeah, Rainbow. That's a gay symbol. Rainbow Bridge. Gay cats and dogs.
Yeah.
Doc, thank you. We'll do it again next week. Dr. Doug Pernikoff, everybody. Brought to you by Window World, the number one selling replacement window in the United States. The official, now, it's not officially a preferred. I made that mistake once before. The preferred window of the St. Louis Blues. Please don't go away because the Playhouse is coming up and another good joke and just some stuff to talk about and maybe give you even more of a headache with another couple of riddles I just found when I looked them up. All that and more. It's 5 o'clock at 590 The Fan.
This is 590 The Fan. KFNS Wood River, St. Louis, and 590thefan.com, the home of Budweiser.
NBC News Radio, I'm Brian Shook. President Trump says Democrats are trying to destroy the reputation of Supreme Court